blessing. Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together Psalter 365, the stanzas 2 and 4. None can stand unscathed and blameless in thy judgment just, but the contrite in thy mercy humbly trust. With the Lord is tender mercy and redeeming love. Israel, look for full salvation from above. 2 and 4 of 265. From scripture, we wish to read from the book of the Psalms, Psalm 147, Psalm 147. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is the Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion. For he hath strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children within thee. He maketh peace in thy borders, and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. He sendeth forth his commandment upon earth. His word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sendeth out his word and melteth them. He causeth his wind to blow and the waters flow. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. Thus far. And next we will read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The congregation, we announce, the Lord willing, the sacrament of holy baptism will take place next week. Let us now try to ask the Lord for his blessing. in this afternoon hour. Most gracious, most glorious and eternal God, wilt thou clothe us with deep humility, with sincere reverence, as we seek to approach unto thee, O God Most High. O give us impressions of that greatness and thy glory, but also impressions of our insignificance, our nothingness, that we may be given to bow low before thy countenance, begging, if thou wilt open our unclean lips, as we seek to approach unto thy throne. For Lord, thou hast brought us together. It is for the second time this Sabbath day that the doors of thy house have opened, and thy word calls it a house of prayer. Lord, may that indeed be and become true, that there would be supplicators and beggars in our midst this afternoon who would cry, who would call, who would sigh, have mercy upon us, O Lord. Oh, what thou wouldest withhold, withhold not thy blessing, withhold not thy presence from us, even as those two travelers on the way to Emmaus. Oh, the day was far spent, and it seemed as if that companion was passing on, and they desired his presence, his nearness. Oh, they needed his instruction, as he had corrected them, as he had taught them in the right and only way, for he opened unto them the scriptures. Lord, now the day is coming close to that it is far spent, and when the sun will go down. But oh, that is also in the world, and perhaps there is a people that fear it shall be that way in their life. And how urgent then becomes that cry, Lord, abide with us. The day of our life, the day of the world is far spent. Lord, do not depart. And wilt thou come yet? For thy coming alone can perfect our salvation. Our Lord, and the petition may also be, if thou wilt come to convert yet sinners unto thee, draw them out of darkness to thy marvelous light. Call them, Lord, from death to life. Wilt thou yet bring them at thy blessed feet? For how many among us shall still be traveling upon that broad way that leadeth to destruction? Oh, then we bring them all before thee, with those who are listening along, that it may indeed be, Lord, that it is a time in which thou wilt call sinners, and not only outwardly to repentance, but that thou wouldest come with thy quickening power, O Spirit, and call them unto that humbling repentance. Then it shall be a confessing of our sin. Then it shall be a begging for undeserved grace. Then there comes a cleaving unto thee, a following of thee. Oh, then by grace there comes a choosing of thee. I long for none other. I long but for thee. Lord, then everything can fall away, and everything can perish. But then there is a one, there is a never dying soul that I have received, and Lord graciously convert me. But it shall remain the petition of a living remnant, for they cannot maintain life in themselves. If thou hast given them that life, it is a great wonder, but they cannot uphold it. And they can only wander away from thee. But now with that following grace, with that leading grace, with that maintaining and protecting grace, Lord, then they shall walk in thy footsteps. And here below it remains a waste howling wilderness, where the Amalekites attack them from the rear. Where the fiery serpent sometimes will have to come, also because of our murmurings. But then that blessed, brazen serpent lifted up upon the pole will give the deliverance. Our Lord, provide yet a little manna in the wilderness. Grant yet an Elim with those the palm trees, and with those wells of water. Lord, and there is food, there is drink, and there is some rest and refreshment. And when thy people may have such a resting place, oh, then it is a wonder if they may be together also, that they speak about thy ways and about thy leadings. Wilt thou instruct us in this afternoon and lead us in to all truth? It is thy Spirit alone that can enlighten us, that then the Scriptures may be opened unto us, and that we may seek to unfold them before the congregation, and that there would be people hungering and thirsting. Oh, that they may receive a morsel, provision for the way. Oh, Lord, wilt thou then show that what they need for eating and for drinking is that bread of life and that water of life. For what the world offers is nothing but deceit and bitterness, and it yields death in the end. But oh, that bread is the bread of life, and that water is the water of life. That is none other but him who has declared, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. Our Lord, and that becomes the aiming. Then that becomes the begging. Oh, perhaps there are those poor, afflicted souls that cannot believe of themselves, that find themselves so hopeless and so helpless. But oh, their heart calls for grace from on high. Then it is from the foothills of Mount Hermon I bewail my misery. Lord, wilt thou then gladden them, instruct them, and give them that light, that food, that grace from on high. Remember the congregation, the young and the old, the children, the newborn, the unborn, but Lord, also those that are in the prime of their life, and it can occupy us so much, but Lord, thou canst also stop us and give us yet to ponder what is needful for eternity. Lord, there are those who are old and experience more and more the declining of their strength and their life. But wilt thou give that in the evening tide it may be light? And if it has never yet become light, do it still, Lord. For with thee there is power to save unto the uttermost. Gracious Lord, remember thy servant, whom thou hast given to be at this place for many years already. Strengthen and uphold, encourage him also, And Lord, supply him out of thy fullness, that out of the treasures from on high he may bring forth new things and old. Lord, be with him in this day as he serves in a branch, that he may also be helped by thee, and bring him home in safety at the appointed time. Look upon the brothers of the consistory. Lord, bind them together in true love. Give them that bowing before thy word and under thy truth. Lord, give them to labor most of the time upon their knees. Lord, and it shall be well. Give them courage and give them strength. May there also be found Aaron's and hers. Lord, remember then all the labors that are performed. Be with the school in all the needs and the wants. Many children, Lord, convert them. Many teachers and helpers and drivers convert them. Many who serve on committees and in the school board, Lord, convert them. For that is necessary for the first time and by renewal, that they may all be governed by thy holy word and testimony. Oh, then we are humbled, and then we are brought low, and then thou shalt care for them in mercy. Lord, take care of each one in all the trials and the troubles. Thy Zion knows of that way, for many are the afflictions of the righteous. But thou, Lord, shalt uphold them in the strife, and at last give them eternal life. For thou, O God, art their salvation. Remember our nation and the governments. Give conversion unto thee, returning to the law and to the testimony. Lord, whatever else we forget, wilt thou not forget it. Oh, that thou wouldest build thy Zion among Jew and Gentile. And grant, Lord, that old-fashioned conversion to be instructed also there. Remember us this afternoon. Remove all the obstacles. Drive away buyers and sellers. The changers of money, our Lord, thou knowest what wretched sinners we are. But the smallest little thing can become a hindrance. But Lord, thou comest and thou makest the plain field, and that we ask also for this afternoon. Give us then fresh oil, O gracious God. Faithful Master, remember us, Lord, as thy servant. For of ourselves, what can we do but ruin everything? But as an instrument in thy hands, following thee, denying self, taking up the cross. Oh, then it is walking in thy paths, O Savior dear. And that is everything for a child of God, for a true servant of the Lord. Oh, may that also be evident, that thou dost not forget, but that thou dost yet anoint with that fresh oil, and that also the profiting may appear in the congregation. We ask it all in the pardoning of our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 144. The stanzas 4, 5 and 6. A broken spirit is to God a pleasing sacrifice. A broken and a contrite heart thou, Lord, wilt not despise. 2. 144 distanzas 4, 5, and 6. And I will turn my hand upon the little ones. Is that not a precious word? Is that not a comforting encouragement? I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. It does not say, I will turn mine hand upon the great ones, or the rich ones, or the righteous ones, upon the strong, and upon those who are so great in their own eyes. I will turn, says the Lord, mine hand upon the little ones, those who are unworthy, those who do not count, those who are despised, not only by the world, but also by a religion that is so glad with themselves. And for those little ones, this is a precious word indeed. And why? Because it is spoken by the unchangeable and ever-living God of heaven and of the earth. The God who is faithful to his word, to his oath, and to his own covenant. And of course all his words are precious. But if that is a word that fits, and that's how the Lord speaks, if it is a word that applies particularly to my condition and my lowly circumstances, oh, then I am given to say that is a precious word indeed. And I turn mine hand upon the little ones. That is now a suitable word. That is a proper word. That is a precious word, because it is necessary for a remnant that has learned to be so small, so little, so poor, so despised, entirely cast out. Oh, that is a people with a faith. It is as small as a mustard seed, but it is true faith nevertheless. And in the eyes of the world, we said they are despised, yes. And for the religious world, they do not count. Away with them also. But in their own eyes, oh, so diminished, so small, they fear it will become to nothing. Oh, if they ever hoped there was something in their life, they find they are so barren, so unfruitful, so unholy, so prayerless many times. Oh, and they say, Lord, now I lose all my strength, and my courage fails, and my hope sinks so deep. Then I think, Lord, I cannot go any further anymore. They go in a way so contrary to what they expected at first. From strength to strength, and a little better and a little more converted, yes. And then it goes overboard. It dries up. It shrivels up. Enemies so many that I cannot contend with them. And that is then a people that says, Lord, I cannot see it anymore. I am so low, so poor. Oh, then I cannot hold on to anything anymore. And they begin to sing. And they begin to languish. And they pine away, truly poor and needy and afflicted, little ones, says the Bible. But now the Lord says, I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. Not as the newer translations or even the New King James Version says, I will turn my hand against those little ones. No. The Lord says, I turn my hand upon them to care for them, to love them, to nourish them, to protect them. Oh, but there is a people that says, how must that now go? How can that now ever take place in such a wretch as I am, where it is so hopeless and it has become so helpless? That is a people that walk around with riddles. Are there such this afternoon? Perhaps you bowed your knees, And you said, Lord, is there yet a solution for the riddles in my heart? Let us then listen to God's word, and may the Lord enlighten us and help us. 147, the verses 2 and 3. The verses 2 and 3. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Thus far, what do we see in this text? The Lord's gracious work. The Lord's gracious work. And that is a work of building up. And that is a work of gathering together. And that is a work of healing and binding up. God's gracious work. That is a work of building, a work of gathering together, and a work of healing and binding up. The prophet who has written this psalm begins with the word, "Praise ye the Lord." It is also the last phrase in this psalm. It is the same as the word hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. And what is the poet now doing? He exhorts everyone. He exhorts especially God's people to do as he was given to do. Because he says, praise ye the Lord. Oh, he knew that by experience himself. It was his heart's desire at times to magnify the Lord and to lift him up on high. And then he gives reasons, because what does he say? Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto the Lord, and it is pleasant, and praise is comely. It is good. It is acceptable. The Lord desires that we ask him. The Lord also desires, people of God, that we acknowledge him and that we praise him. That is a comfort for the heart. And it brings the favor inwardly if we may have God as our aiming and praise him alone. It is also pleasant. Oh, the soul receives the Lord's favor, we said, and that is pleasant to experience. But it is also pleasant unto the Lord. What is that? The Lord says, that is now what I desire, to be honored, to be praised, and to be lifted up. And it is comely. That means it is beautiful. It is so suitable. It is so proper that we praise the Lord. Shall we take it along, young and old, and bring it before the Lord? What the poet is doing, that is so evident, because he exhorts God's people. He wishes to stir them up. And that is because the Lord is so worthy. Praise ye the Lord. He is worthy of that at all times. He is worthy of that in all circumstances. But now especially, under the remarkable circumstances that we find described in the text, then it behooves us, people of God, to render thanks unto the Lord. But what were now those circumstances in the psalm? It is a psalm written after the captivity. And the children of Israel had returned to the land of Canaan. And see, then they were going to experience that God delivered them not only, but that He also cares for them in their country once again. Because who were now the leaders? Oh, Joshua, the son of Josedek. And there was Shealtiel, the governor. And there was also a Zechariah. And there was a Haggai, the prophets. And there was an Ezra, and there was a Nehemiah. All the Lord gave men to serve in the offices for the welfare of the congregation. Oh, and then He means to say, the Lord has now provided for us leaders, God-fearing leaders, those that are called and placed in the offices, and the Lord has anointed them. And now when the Lord brought them back, what had He shown in the past? His guidance. Because He led His church. Oh yes. And He displayed His protection for them. His power, His grace, and His majesty. And see, then they came to Zion. And they came to Jerusalem. And now what the Lord did there is declared in our text. It says, the Lord doth build up Jerusalem. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. And remember now that this was a very remarkable time. For why did the Lord have to build Jerusalem? Because it was in ruins. It had been burned down. It was entirely broken down. It was destroyed. And what is that now? Because of our sin. That is what those people learn. And here you see that contrast. What we do is breaking down and the Lord builds up. What we do is only make a ruin of ourselves. And the Lord brings it back and He begins to help and strengthen that poor people. And why were the Jews in those sad circumstances? First in captivity and then when they were back. Oh, you read it in Jeremiah in the Lamentations. How doth the city sit solitary? And it was full of people. And now it was empty. It was deserted. And then the stones of the sanctuary of that beautiful temple, they were poured out in the top of the streets. So the temple was destroyed, the place where the Lord desired to meet with His people. Have we now learned that? Have we been taught this experimentally in our soul? Oh, because our transgressions caused the Lord to come upon us with those righteous judgments. Oh, and then He shows us that it is a foul fountain of corruption within. And then we only can do what is wickedness. And see, what does the Lord now do? Then the Lord comes back to His people. And they must learn that it is hopeless. And they must learn that they themselves are helpless. It can also be that the Lord allows the enemies to destroy something, to bring everything, as it were, that it comes to naught. And it can go so far that the Lord withdraws entirely. And we read it in Revelation that the Lord removes that candlestick. But now over against what man has ruined and what we by nature continue to ruin, the poet says, the Lord doth build up Jerusalem. And all the emphasis is on the Lord, not on man, on the Lord. He is the builder. He is the author. He is the master builder. He is the one who founds it. He is the upbuilder, the protector, the governor of that city. Oh, the Lord doth build up Jerusalem. It is free. It is one-sided. And it is sovereign grace alone. Oh, what do we sing in 127? Except the Lord build the house, the builders build in vain that build it. And except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. We have to be placed outside of it, people, time and again. It will have to be the Lord alone that will do it. And you know what is now such a wonder? That the Lord himself assures his people that he will do it for them. Oh, it is not our strength, and it is not our watchfulness, and it is not our zeal, and it is not our diligence. Nothing of that kind. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. The Lord, that is Jehovah. That God who is eternal in his being, who is faithful in his promises, who is also powerful and almighty to perform those promises. The Lord is the one who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. That is now the God who employs his almighty power, and by his hands he builds the city. He is pleased to do that. When the Lord says, I shall, then none can let him. Oh, the enemies may rage and seek to destroy it. You see that with the Samaritans, with Sambalat, and with Tobiah, and with Geshem the Arabian, and they prevailed not, congregation. And why does the Lord now build Jerusalem? Why doth the Lord now build up Jerusalem? Oh, that is because there is a remnant that he has chosen, that he has loved from all eternity, and that is there, he is their God, and he desires to meet with them. Oh, that is now a people that he favors with his blessing, with the friendly look upon his face, in his countenance. And he says, now I will have a house in Jerusalem, and there I will meet with them from the mercy seat. There I will speak unto them. There I will instruct them in the sacrifices, that the blood of Christ is necessary, that the blessings of the priest, the blessing of God himself, is placed upon that congregation. Oh, and then it is, then we shall bow before him there, yes. And then that people will also praise him there. With their prayers they come, yes, a house of prayer, but also that house of praise. Praise is comely, and the Lord doth build up Jerusalem. What was not now in the history, literally, that was after they returned from Babylon. Then that captivity came back, and oh, that was a discouraging sight, you can well imagine. The temple in ruins, and the gates burned down, and the walls were just broken down. And Israel was now allowed to return. And why is that? God keeps his covenant. God does not break the oath against to his people. For what had he promised to give unto them, the Messiah? And unless that people were back in Jerusalem, in Israel, the Messiah could not be born. Oh, and that is now, congregation, a type of what happens spiritually. For throughout the entire Old Testament, the Lord had the ceremonial service, pointing forward to Jesus that would come. But then after he had come, what happened in the year 70, the temple was destroyed. Because that people was no longer the type. Because that was fulfilled. It was now all about that spiritual Israel. And in that gospel time, the Lord will teach them about that spiritual worship. Oh, is there now a people with riddles here this afternoon? What a riddle. Oh, if I listen closely, then there is one who says, yes, the Lord doth build up Jerusalem, but shall he build me? Shall he not pass me by? That would be righteous. Oh, can I be laid as a spiritual stone upon that only foundation of Jesus Christ and him crucified? If we read the text closely, then there is hope and courage. Why? The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. Very literally, you can say, the Lord is building up Jerusalem. He is not finished. You can still be converted. You can still be taken as a stone and placed upon that foundation. Oh, he is the Almighty. He is the ever faithful one. And he will not leave one stone left out, because the entire building shall be beautiful according to what his counsel has determined. Oh, then that gives hope. Not a hope that you can realize yourself, but a hope that you may say, Lord, hast thou not said in Malachi, I am the Lord, and I change not. And therefore the sons of Jacob are not consumed. Lord, I deserve it, but wilt thou now lay me as a stone upon that only foundation? But then we hear another riddle, and what is that? That is the people that say, oh, that is all true. And I hope and I pray it is for me, but how can it ever be accomplished? How can ever that be done in my heart? Because, oh, Jeremiah says it, that the people were far away in that captivity. And that is where I am, just like those Jews in the olden days. I am in the prison. I am in bondage. I cannot ever come close to that city of Jerusalem. And even if I would receive that liberty, and even if the prison doors open, then I do not know my way through the wilderness. I would wander, I would perish, I would yet come to an end miserably. Oh, are there those people this afternoon? Perhaps a little hope that the Lord would do it, but how? You cannot see it. Oh, that does not mean it is not true. Because that is now exactly how the Lord works. That we are placed outside of it. Because what does the second thought say? He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He gathers the outcasts. And who are now the outcasts? The ones they were thrust out. The ones that were not wanted. The ones that were harassed. That were chased out. And that can be chiefly for two reasons. Because there were, that is the history, there were people in captivity. And that were in bondage on account of their own sins in banishment afar. Can also be that people are persecuted, that they are hated, that they are hunted, that they are harried onwards, and how can they ever come back? And see, then you hear about Jerusalem being in ruins, and then they say, how can it be for me? Do I even belong? Then read the epistle of James, and the epistles of Peter, and to whom do they write? To the strangers and the pilgrims. those that are scattered abroad. Oh, the Bible is one whole. And the one part explains the other part. Is that now your case in banishment afar? You know why? Because of our fall in paradise. There we were cast out. There that communion with the Lord was broken. And there we were on our own in misery. Away from the Lord without his help. An alien in this strange and enemy's land. It is a people that has no hope that they can ever return. Because it is impossible, yes. And that is now pictured here by these captives, yes. And those who were in captivity were not all desiring to go back to Jerusalem. The greater part was quite at home there in captivity and never returned at all. That was a people that found themselves at home in the world. They say, oh, missing God. That is what I hear these people talking about. We can pray unto the Lord here, if they even thought about praying. And that's now man by nature. But when the Lord comes, then it is uncovered. And then we see that breach between God and our soul. And then we find that we can no longer stay in that world. That we have to experience with Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy father's house. And go to that land that I will show thee. Oh, then I desire to be separate. To be separate from those people because my iniquities, oh, they cleave unto me, and they only make that breach greater. Then it is not songs, but sighs to us belong. When Zion's walls in ruin lie, oh, how can I sing Jehovah's songs when in an alien land I die? You see, then you become a stranger in the world and a stranger for your companions. Then you cannot do the same wickedness anymore. You cannot do what the world says is pleasure anymore. Then there is an inner chamber that you seek. And then there is God's house that you visit. And then there is God's word that you read. Oh, that grief is bitter and it is very deep. Then you say that guilt is mine. The fault does not lie with the Lord. Oh, ashamed I am. Driven away from the Lord into banishment. That is all my own fault. Oh, and then I have no holiness and I have no happiness and I have no humbleness. I am a poor and a miserable sinner on the way to that great destruction. Oh, are there such here now this afternoon? What do we now read? Oh, the Lord doth build up Jerusalem. And who shall be present? And who shall now be there to help in that work? He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. Yes. Oh, that is now a people that stand outside and they do not know how it will have to go in their life. They say, thou knowest my wanderings and thou gatherest my tears all in thy bottle. And they say, from those foothills of Mount Hermon, I do bewail my misery. How could David ever get back with Absalom upon the throne? And Ahithophel plotting to go against his life. Oh, what happened to a Joseph? God-fearing young man. The fear of the Lord was evident in his life. And he was grieved that his brethren sinned so much. And caused the name of the Lord to be blasphemed. And he spoke to his father. But where did he end up? In the pit. Where did he end up? Being sold. Where did he end up? In the prison, falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. and then forgotten in the prison also. Oh, congregation, that is now how bitter it will go, how low it can go in the life of God's children. And then they say, rise up and redeem us, thy mercy we trust, yes. And who is it then? It is He gathereth the outcasts of Israel. It is that same Lord with those four capital letters. It is that same Jehovah. See, that is now that gracious work again. That is now that sovereign one-sided work again. Free, almighty work of God showing that grace. And why? We mentioned it already. Because the Lord not only wants to build Jerusalem, that temple and that city, but He wants the people to be there. Because those people are the people of His love and joys. And He desires to have communion with them. Oh, and then they desire to worship there and bow before Him. And therefore they must be gathered. Oh yes, He gathereth the outcasts of Israel. That is something that the Lord will surely do. And keep then in mind that here we have after the exile still this taking place here and there in the land of Israel. But those shadows are coming to a fulfillment, a glorious fulfillment, especially in the New Testament, where that gospel will be proclaimed until the ends of the earth, because then it is the time that Messiah has come. Oh, then the Lord says that He will turn the captivity and have compassion upon thee. You can read it in Deuteronomy 30. And I will restore and I will gather together from all the nations. And that is then from the four corners of the earth, wherever they have been scattered. And is that then not an encouragement for those that know they are at the edge, at the end of the world? Perhaps in the isles of the world that they say there is a sea in between also. It is impossible unto us. Oh, how does the Lord now gather? I think even the children know it. And the young people will know it. Because the Lord gathers by a call. By His word. These captives. How are they now released from prison? And how are they now provided for to go to the land of Israel? There was Cyrus. That was the instrument who was the king at that time. And he said, open up those captive doors, yes. And they may freely go back to Jerusalem. And now this Cyrus was not a living man spiritually, but an instrument. But it is for us the lesson, is it now the word of God? Oh, then typically the Lord uses living servants, that we know. But it can sometimes be a struggle in the life of that people that they have been called to grace by, in the words of a servant, that is not living. But the Lord is able to do that. You can see that here. Oh, and then they heard it and there was a remnant that returned congregation, even though the majority stayed behind. But then, forget all your former friends. Oh, the Lord then calls, and He lets them come, because He draws them with those cords of love. And how? How does a shepherd now bring his lost sheep together? He goes out and seeks them. He goes out and calls them. And see, that is now exactly what the Lord will do. Because He uses that word, that blessed word of God, and that is through the preaching most of the time. And then it is a call that is effectual, not only in my ears, not only in my mind, but it is a call that quickens from death to life. Oh, then it is an efficacious call, an internal call. Then it is the love of God shed abroad in the hearts by the Spirit of God that is given unto me. And see, then the wonders begin to happen. We may say it differently also. In Isaiah 11, we have the prophecy that the Lord shall set up an ensign of the nations, that is a banner, that is a great flag, and that ensign of the nations shall now be set up, and then the Lord himself shall bring the people from afar, even from the four corners of the earth. And who is now that ensign? That is none other but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Oh, if he is lifted up upon that gospel pole, if he is now displayed, if he is now preached about far and wide in the world, if he is preached about or by the sermons that it is read about him, oh, that is the prime time, so to speak, that the Lord calls sinners. Because he is the only name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Oh, and then a sinner is convinced of his sin. He is humbled low. There comes godly sorrow. And the Lord brings them from the north country. And he brings them from the south. He brings them from the east. And he brings them from the west. And what do we read in Jeremiah? They shall come with weeping and supplication. Oh, no other way. With weeping and supplication. And I will cause them to walk in the straight way. And I will lead them by the brooks of water. And I will provide them. Oh, I will strengthen them that they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. You see, it is entirely again God's work, congregation. Oh, is this now something that you have experienced in your own heart? Do you know this experimentally in your soul? That is often why the Lord sends a servant in the midst of a congregation, or that he leaves a servant in the midst of the congregation. Oh, beg then that it may be used by the Lord for your salvation and for your children. Because then the Lord is pleased to build through the ministry of the gospel. He is pleased to gather together by the ministry of the gospel. Oh, then the Lord speaks by way of that Redeemer of Israel, by the Holy Spirit. Oh, and then that Christ is declared, is he not? Because where did he come from? From heaven. And he left his throne of glory, and he went into that banishment here below. Yes. And did he not suffer grievously? And yet he was so willing, and he was so voluntarily walking in that way. He had to be called from Egypt because there was no place for him, not in the inn and not in Canaan, in Nazareth, cast out of the synagogue. Oh, he was utterly despised. And then the disciples in Gethsemane even forsook him. Yes. What did Simon do? I know not the man. And for such he went into that way of suffering, of dying, of being cast out himself. But there came a time, oh, that he died and that he finished all his work. Ah, congregation, then it is a wonder, is it not, that he now answered his father's justice, that he paid now that guilt, that debt, until the last farthing. And then the Lord draws them back unto him. Oh, who else but the Lord can gather? Because that is a divine work with an almighty power, with an abundant grace. And it is out of that good pleasure of the Lord. Oh, and then the Lord says it in the prophet, yet will I gather others to him beside those that are gathered. And again, it is the same encouragement. The Lord is building up Jerusalem, and the Lord is still gathering together the outcasts of Israel. Oh, young and old, then the Lord can still convert even this afternoon. Now we are in the land of the living. Now that faithful Master is bringing his word unto you. But shall we live till tomorrow? Shall we live till the church doors are opened for us another time? Oh, we cannot tell. But then make haste for your life's sake. Is there then one who says, but how shall that now happen, and what shall then work further? That we will deal with. But first we have to sing 273. 273. Thou, O Jehovah, shalt endure. Thy throne forever is the same. And to all generations sure shall be thy great memorial name. The time for Zion's help is near. The time appointed in thy love. O let thy gracious aid appear. Look down in mercy from above. O Lord, regard the prayer of those who love the walls of Zion well, whose hearts are heavy for her woes, who sad amid her ruins dwell. 1, 2, and 3. Psalter 273.
Thank you.
The Lord's gracious work is building up, gathering together. And now in the third place, it is a gracious work of healing and of binding up. And again, we are speaking about spiritual matters that are pictured by the temporal earthly matters. There is a people that come to know that they are spiritually afflicted, that they are wounded, and they cannot heal themselves. Oh, why is that? Psalm 41 tells us. There the poet prays, "Heal me, for I have sinned against thee." How simple, but how true. "Heal me in my heart, for I have sinned against thee." That is now a malady that is deadly. Or we read that Isaiah knew about this as well. He said the whole heart, the whole head is sick, and to the feet, then it is everything, that it is so faint that there are bruises and putrefying sores that have not been pushed out nor mollified. They have not been bound up. Oh, then that is now a heart sickness. That is now a malady that is felt inwardly in the heart. Oh, and we read it. That is a broken heart. And those are wounds made by the Spirit. How does the Lord now break the heart? On Pentecost that happened, that preaching. That preaching of law and of gospel. And if an arrow then strikes us between the joints of our harness, because we can have so much of a harness on, but the Lord knows how to pierce it. And He does. He does. 3,000 on that day, they said, "Men and brethren, what must we do to be saved?" They were contrite. Their heart was broken. It had pierced congregation. Then I have a sense of my sin. Then I begin to realize my guilt. Then I find out how depraved I am. Then it is a lost case on my side. Because the sacrifices of God are a broken heart and a contrite spirit. He works that. And He delights in it. But when we have that broken heart, oh, then we think it is lost with us forever. Those people mourn for their own sin. They also mourn for the lowest state of Zion. And then they see their children. Oh, they say, "Lord, unclean, because I am unclean. I am on the way to destruction, but my children walk in the same way." Oh, that is a people that mourn so much, that has so much grief and pain in their own heart. Oh, and besides that, they have oppression. They have enemies. They have afflictions. They have so much that presses them down. You read in the Bible about murderers on the way to Shechem. And what does the poet then say? "My soul is wearied because of those murderers on the way to Shechem." And the murderers, they are nothing else but the helpers of the devil. Because he is the murderer from the beginning. And Shechem, what is that? A city of refuge. And now a people that is made acquainted with their great danger, and they begin to flee, and they begin to go towards that city of destruction, and these murderers chase them, and these murderers want to kill them before they come to that city of refuge. Murderers on the way to Shechem. Is there a people here this afternoon that knows what this means? A wounded spirit who can bear it? That is what Solomon said. He also knew that his spirit wounded, then you have no strength anymore. Then you begin to languish and you say, soon it will be the end of my life. Pity, Lord, my sad condition. I am weary and distressed. Many adversaries vex me. Weeping, I can find no rest. Are there those that know what it is to have a broken heart and to have a wounded spirit? But hear now the wonder for the third time. For what is it? The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth the outcasts of Israel. And now for the third time, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Oh, then it is that very same Jehovah who never lets go of his own work. Where he begins, he shall surely finish it. Oh, then the whole head is so sick and everything else. But he wounds and he also makes whole. He breaks and he also gives them that medicine. The Lord draws nigh to broken hearts and to contrite spirit he help imparts. What did Christ now testify in Isaiah 61? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach great good tidings unto the meek. But also he hath sent me to bind up the broken hearted. Oh, that is that Savior. But now the Savior's servants in a small measure may do that same thing. To proclaim those good tidings. And there is no better work, people. Because there is no better master. And there is no better thing than to try and bring those people away from that destruction. And to help and strengthen those broken-hearted ones. Oh, then the soul becomes lively. Because they may speak about him who is the only physician. And the way how that those broken-hearted people are now strengthened. Oh, congregation, what was it with the good Samaritan? The priest and the Levite, all the office bearers in Israel, they passed by. Yes, they passed by. It was awful. It was sin and it was wickedness. Yes. But then that good Samaritan, no expectation from him. And he stopped. And he stooped. He came down where he was. Oh, is there a people that has sunk so low? Fallen in the hand of those murderers. Left for half dead. Oh, then it is a way of perishing and not able to get up and not able to help themselves, no. But then Christ, that is that good Samaritan. Oh, he came and he bent down so low and he bound up those wounds and he poured that oil in it, that is his spirit. And he gives a little wine upon it to cleanse and also to drink. Oh, that is now that almighty physician. That is now that merciful Christ. Then it is the physician for whom no case is too hard. There is for him no wound that is incurable. There is for him nothing too hard. Because what does he now carry? Hear it from the prophet. Is there no balm in Gilead? And is there no physician there? Oh, surely that blessed Christ is the physician. And he can heal as no one else can heal. He shall probe the wound. Yes, that is necessary. And he shall cut out what must be cut out. But then he comes with that balm. And what is now that balm from Gilead? Oh, look in Gethsemane, the first drops were prepared. Look at him then buffeted and scourged by the Roman soldiers. More drops of that balm were prepared. And see it then on Golgotha, where he was nailed to the cross, where the spear later on also entered his precious heart, and out came blood and water. And there you have now that blood balm of Gilead. Oh, if there is then a sinner that is wounded and broken in heart, one drop of that balm of Gilead and everything is healed, yes.
That man was able, that Savior was able to heal with his word. But here he shows that is done with that balm of Gilead congregation. Oh, then he comes to the poor and to the blind and to the brokenhearted and to the crippled ones. Then he comes to the lepers, he comes to all those people, and he now supplies exactly what is needed. Because he took all their infirmities upon him. Then by his stripes you are healed, O guilty, wounded sinners. All young and old, that is now the message that we may proclaim. For he healeth the broken in heart, and he bindeth up their wounds. Oh, he cares for that people with a pity and compassion that is surely divine. Oh, then it is already that the Lord says that balm of Gilead is still there. And that physician, oh, he has no hours that you have to wait for. No, you can knock on that door any time in your life. Whether it is in the middle of the night or whether you are sinking afar. Go then to him because he is the only one that can help in all you need. He has congregation. The Lord builds up his church. He seeks her wandering sons. He binds their wounds and gently heals the brokenhearted ones. Oh, then I cannot exalt him high enough. Then I cannot recommend his service well enough. Because it lies all in him. And in him the church travels safe to Jerusalem. Oh, then I say to all those that have broken hearts, what do you now do with a wound that you have in nature, in your body? You go to the doctor and you show it and you tell it. Now, is it not simple? Then that is the way you must also go with your broken heart and show him your wounds. No matter how awful, no matter how terrible. But he will take them and he will heal them, congregation. Because that is that blessed name of Jesus. Oh, then with his love, your life shall be sustained. Oh, and then ere long, where will that people go? Oh, hear the wounds time and again. Hear the need to go to that physician time and again. Hear the need for that blood to be applied time and again. But at last, where shall that people go? Then you shall go to that land where no inhabitant evermore shall say, I am sick. Because there the Lord gives forgiveness of all iniquities. Amen. Gracious and almighty Lord, oh, apply it unto the hearts of young and old. And those who are strangers of it, prick them in their heart and make them jealous. That they go home with a wound in their heart, and thou shalt take care of it, O great physician. For if thy hand wounds, thy hand shall also heal it. Lord, give us an acknowledging heart hitherto thou hast provided. Forgive all the sins and all the shortcomings. Let no little foxes spoil the vineyard, but also in the rest of this day there may be something of that meditating upon thee, and help us once again in a sister congregation in the evening. Lord, once again we commend all and the listeners along unto thee, and that for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Psalter 403, the first stanza. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing unto our God. 'Tis right and pleasant for his saints to tell his praise abroad. The Lord our God builds up his church. He seeks her wandering sons. He binds their wounds and gently heals the brokenhearted ones. One of 403.
depart in peace, I receive the blessing of the Lord. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost, be with you all. Amen.